Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not that we needed this report. This is Wretched Radio. Survey says...
Are those helicopters? What is
those aren't helicopters.
What is that?
Those are parents in the 21st century. It looks like this whole helicopter parenting thing has not been working out so well. Although, I don't know if you know this, but helicopter parenting transition. Can we use the word transition? Helicopter parenting. We assigned that piece of equipment the name helicopter. But it can be whatever it wants to be. Helicopter parenting actually transitioned into lawnmower parenting, where the parents don't just hover. They get in front of the kids and they clear the path for them. So everything is smooth sailing. I think I mixed my metaphor, but the point is, it turns out what is observable to all of us, we didn't need this recent study that was done by Campus Reform, but it reveals maybe we need to go back to the old paths. And okay, this is pure speculation. I suspect we're going to be forced to return to the old paths. Okay, this is prognosticating. Dare I say prophesying, which means it has no authority whatsoever. But the future looks like it is going to be changing, dare I say, reverting back to some of our old ways of living, courtesy of AI. If AI does what people think it is going to do, it is going to displace so many people. What will they do? Might many have to return to a more simple way of living, a more agrarian-based economy, family business, because there simply aren't jobs available in the marketplace. We'll see. In the meantime, one wonders how a Christian parent can return to the old ways while living in the 21st century. In other words, how do we stop lawnmowering for our kids? It is so easy to do. Back in the old days, and I'm talking 100 years ago, that's long enough, you had to scramble to stay alive. And that means when you're old enough to work, you got work to do. You've got to do things. You got to fix things. You've got to till things. You got to clean things. You got to do whatever it is that you can do at the earliest age possible. In other words, you had to be a contributor to the family economy. Today, that's gone. Today, the kids don't have to. And isn't it somewhat ironic that everybody worked so hard to provide a better life for their kids? And it turns out that we're actually crippling them with all of the goodness that God has provided? That by removing any obstacle, just taking care of anything that could trip up a child or make them have to sweat, or maybe even put down their Nintendo. Is Nintendo a current reference? I don't know that it is.
I think it is.
The point is, it? Do you still play Nintendo?
Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, there was a Today Show, I think, did a story on grandma gamers. That's right. Grandma gamers. These are women that are like 60s, 70s with grandchildren. And they're not just playing a video game like an accelerated Pong. It's the, you know, shooting and killing everybody thing. Jimmy, you play video games. What is the name of those video games that it's like the popular one where you just go out and you have to kill everybody?
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Grand Theft Auto. That's one.
They were warm. I thought it began with an M, like Manslaughter Mania or something. And they're showing these grandmothers with their joysticks on the edge of their couch. Oh, got him. And it seemed so, what's the word I'm looking for? Wrong. There's a time when childish things need to be put behind. And it's probably a reasonable amount of time before you have grandchildren. Kids are allowed so many entertainment vehicles. They're given so much opportunity for rest. They are allowed to enter into their social media world, and they do not want any accountability. So you've got a recipe that was clearly disastrous. And here are the survey results. 77% of Gen Zers brought a parent to a job interview. They couldn't handle it by themselves. 31% had a parent write their resume. What? That's still ridiculously high. 53% had a parent speak with a hiring manager on their behalf. Oh, boy. Hi, I'm calling for my son. We need to discuss hiring him because he can't sell himself. What in the world have we done here? 45% regularly have a parent talk to their current manager. I got to tell you, I think I know how that phone call would go here. I'm sorry. You want to talk about your child working here? Well, we can make this pretty tight. You tell your child to follow procedure if he is disgruntled or has something to discuss. Have a nice day. 73% have their parents help complete work assignments. There it is. Wait, hold on a second. We need a lawnmower sound effect is what we need. 73% are doing the kid's job at home for them. 57% have brought a parent to their current workplace. Wow. This is a generation that is not very well equipped for, what's the word I'm looking for, reality. And the statistics just go on and on and on, and they're just more and more troubling. 50% say a parent spoke to their manager about a workplace conflict. This isn't the kids. The parents have to make these calls. It's probably 100%. Okay, 99% of them, so we can let somebody off the hook. 99% of them complain to mom and dad. 50% of all parents of Gen Zers actually use their cell phones to contact the manager regarding a workplace conflict to protect their adult child. Oof. 49. This goes... We're really seeing the fruit. Okay, it's an economic issue because we can provide so much laziness for our children. But it's also the mindset that started with, in my estimation, child on board bumper stickers. You say, what's the matter with a child on board bumper sticker? Well, I would say that a child is a human being, and so is an adult. And I don't want to hit any car, so I don't hurt anybody, but it was a fruit. It comes out of Dr. Spock. It comes out of this laissez-faire parenting that we all have to deal with. In fact, had to deal with it last night. Mrs. Friel, in a rare moment of weakness, allowed me to go out for pizza because she doesn't like to eat the pizza. So we went to the pizza place. We get inside and there's two kids sitting there. And despite my glares, they just let the kids keep screaming. We had to leave. It's like, this is unpleasant and ridiculous. What is it? It's the parenting that says we don't discipline our children. And that did not start yesterday. It started maybe 50 years ago. And now we are seeing the kids of those kids in full bloom, making sure that their kids have no worries, no woes, no conflicts, no problems. So this is a fruit not just of an economic system that allows for parents to let their kids slide, but it's also a parenting mindset, a kid-centered home. 46% say a parent was involved in a conversation about getting a raise. Jimmy, you come to my office pretty much every day to ask for a raise.
Well, you know.
Why don't you call your mom and have her give me a ring?
No. No.
44% say a parent spoke with their manager about a promotion. 39% say a parent was involved in conversations about reducing their workload.
Oh, if I called my mom and asked her to call you.
Yeah. She'd drive to Atlanta. That's what she'd do. Hold on. Here's the crescendo. 86% of Gen Zers have their parents review their performance reviews. I mean, I'm glad they're like still engaged in their parents' lives and vice versa. 83% have their parents pack their lunch for work. 83%. Do they go to their home? No, because they're probably living inside of their house. How's about this? 57% bring their parents to work. Maybe it's time to return to the old ways where kids are not helicoptered for. That's right. They're not helicoptered for. This is Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing, or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
Know your church fathers. Tatian is known as Asia's first Christian theologian. He came from Assyria and studied under Justin Martyr before returning to prepare a path for the gospel into Western Asia. He wrote A Harmony of the Four Gospels, it was the primary gospel text in Syria throughout the 3rd and 4th centuries. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, we didn't beat our children with rocks. This is Wretched Radio, but that's what people think these days. You don't do everything for your kids. Do you hate them? Actually, it's just the opposite. It appears we're raising a generation that does not know how to insert itself into reality. They have been protected and defended, and they have been coddled to the point where they have to bring mom and dad to work with them. Mom and dad, I know it's not easy because you have a bent, you have an inclination. You want to do things for your kids. That is right. But might I suggest it is simply aimed in the wrong direction. There's another way to help your child, actually help your child. Here it is. Don't do everything for them. That feels counterintuitive. No, if I want to help my kid, I got to do things for my kid. I would suggest no. If you want to help your kid, you got to let your kid start doing stuff. Chores. They've got to do hard things. Not just play games, but actual unpleasant tasks. It's funny. You talk to anybody who is probably over the age of maybe even 35-ish, and they will be very quick to regale you with what they had to do as a kid and their first job and what they had to do when their parents told them to do stuff. And if they didn't do it, what would happen to them? We've got those stories, all of us, except this current generation. They don't have those because these days we esteem it to be cruelty for a parent to not do everything for their kids. Jimmy, you want to do stuff for your kids?
Sure.
But it's not always a good thing to do.
It's not.
For our kids.
It is not. I think the most helpful thing we can do for our children, especially as they get older,
is to have them go to masters.edu/wretched.
That's exactly right.
Look what I did.
That is amazing that you were reading my mind, Todd.
I've been meaning to do a shout out, y'all. Schools and the decision that you make for university, mega important. They're going to teach work ethic at Masters U. No, they don't have them plowing fields without a mule, but they do instill in them, biblical values. So it's going to be supporting you in your parenting. And I wanted to bring it up because there's a bunch of scholarships that are available, but you got to look into applying now. Otherwise, you could miss out. Masters has a lot of different scholarships. They've also got a lot of different programs, like 150 of them, from mechanical engineering to entrepreneurship to biblical counseling, with oodles of scholarships. Learn more at masters.edu/wretched. And if you do, that will make you a good parent. I'm sorry, Jimmy, I interrupted. What's the best thing we can do for our kids besides sending them to masters.edu/wretched?
Yeah, let them fail.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard to do that, to see them fail, but that is the only way they're going to learn.
But there's something about the generation that helicopters and lawnmowers for their kids. There's something about watching our child fail. I don't think it's ever been easy, but I think because of the economy that we live in and the message that is sent is that we all deserve to be bubble wrapped from reality. Nothing should be hard. Nothing should be difficult. Everything should be fantastic. It feels like I've totally failed if my kid struggles or bombs or they biff it on something. That's not the way. That inclination was always there, but the economics of our society didn't allow for this coddling. And I'm not saying all of the old ways are better, but if a kid would have failed, say, here's what I would have heard as a kid. Well, do it again.
That's exactly right. Make some adjustments. See where you went
Fix
wrong.
Fix it.
Yeah.
And try harder.
Yep.
That's not bad for us to do. Once again, though, I got to tell you, I really, 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 I feel for parents who are in this society right now raising children because of the social media. That's one of the elements, but also all of the kids. When you've got the only kid who has to mow and edge the lawn, you're the only one. Everybody else has it done by a service or mom or dad do it. But the kids are usually let off the hook. It's a struggle. But mom and dad, I think the stats reveal we've got to be different as Christian parents. That's all there is to it. We simply have to be different as Christian parents. Easy? No. Necessary? Yeah. Furthermore, okay, is it possible that our helicopter parenting is contributing to the status of mental health of our kids? Because they're not living the way that a human being is supposed to live. Humans are supposed to work and work hard. That we're supposed to sweat. We're supposed to build stuff. Even at a young age, we can contribute to a family's business, which every family has a business, even if dad works elsewhere. It's the family economy that needs to be contributed to by a kid. Otherwise, they're not functioning the way that God made them as an image bearer, and things are going to be out of sorts for them. Is it possible that that's why we're seeing a generation that's... I got to think about that. I have to think in... Well, let's see, what month are we? September? In 2 months, I get to be at Oklahoma University, and we're going to talk about deconstruction and why so many deconstruct their faith. September, going to be at Kennesaw State U and North Georgia, University of North... Is it... It's NGU or UNG?
UNG. UNG.
University of... I've been there a dozen times. It's a great town, a beautiful campus, military campus to boot, to talk about mental health issues with Dr. Greg Gifford. And I think maybe one of the points that we could bring out is that the reason that you're not feeling as fulfilled and satisfied and happy as you think you should is because you haven't had to work hard. That's not right. It's just that's broken. And I wonder if that contributes to it. Incidentally, we are going to these campuses because we want to reach students. We don't want to fight with them and debate with them. We want to reach them and show them a better way. This is why you're struggling. And honestly, it is a call for them to return to the old paths, the old ways. And these days, that is less countercultural than it used to be. About a minute ago, looking back was like, oh, they were all morons, racist, sexist, misogynist, terror, stupid. Now we're starting to look back and go, maybe they knew some stuff. And I think kids increasingly have an interest in a Christian conversation. So we want to show them the old paths. If you, to maybe use an illustration, you work in a factory, but all you do is want to drink Kool-Aid all day or polish your shoes, they might keep you employed, but it ain't going to be very good, the relationship. You're not going to get much done. Why? Because you're there for a different assignment. You're there on a different task. And if you're off point in the workplace, things just don't go well. Now expand that to the world. If you're not functioning the way that the Creator has made you to function, things are just going to be out of sorts. And that is, in my opinion, what we're seeing with these kids. By the way, good news out of Illinois. They're trying to ban the AI therapy in Illinois, where the kids and adults too, they go to the AI machine to receive counsel and comfort. And in Illinois is saying that licensed therapists cannot use AI to make therapeutic decisions or perform any therapeutic communication. Wait a second. So the therapists that we're paying to get help from goes to AI to determine what help is needed. I think we could cut out the middleman, or we just get rid of the AI business. This is an increasing scenario for so many people. They're going to AI to get their counseling. And I don't know if you've heard those commercials. I get them on Spotify where they're promoting over 1 million five-star reviews. Call this number and we'll get you hooked up to a therapist. And it's interesting. They toss in a line. They'll help you. It might even involve a digital diet. Call 800-SHRINK-WRAPPED or whatever their 800 number is. Why? Because that's our society. And I wonder if generations well-intended who are trying to do good, nice things for their kids are actually contributing to their malaise. By the way, if you're a university campus and you'd like for us to come and speak in 2026, call us. Do anything, but just send an email to Dalton@FortisInstitute.org. Yeah, I think that's it. Dalton@FortisInstitute.org. We would love to come to your campus and talk to your fellow students. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The Tolerance crowd showing their true colors again. Bravo reality star Jennifer Welch went on a profanity-laced rant demanding that triple Trump voters be banned from Chinese, Indian, and Mexican restaurants and forced to take their bleep to Cracker Barrel. According to Welch, if you supported Trump's policies on immigration, DEI, and LGBTQ issues, you shouldn't be allowed to enjoy the best thing that America has to offer, which is multiculturalism. While American celebrities spew hatred toward fellow citizens, Christians abroad are facing actual persecution. Chinese authorities have imprisoned a Protestant pastor on charges of illegal business operations, which apparently means recording and distributing sermons. The Chinese Human Rights Lawyers Group notes that authorities use vague charges to silence religious expression, while China's surveillance state tracks every movement of citizens to evaluate their loyalty to the Communist Party. Speaking of religious liberty, former Kentucky clerk Kim Davis has formally asked the Supreme Court to overturn the disastrous Obergefell decision that redefined marriage. Davis, who was thrown in jail in 2015 for refusing to issue same-sex marriage licenses based on her religious convictions, argues that Justice Anthony Kennedy's majority opinion was legal fiction. The corruption of Catholic institutions continues as the Jesuit-run University of Scranton hired former Senator Bob Casey Jr. as a distinguished fellow to mentor students. Casey, who abandoned his father's pro-life legacy to score a perfect 100% rating from the NARAL Pro-Choice America, now supports abortion through the moment of birth and co-sponsored the so-called Respect for Marriage Act. The surveillance state, which we just talked about, is coming for our children in America in disturbing ways. A 13-year-old Tennessee girl was strip-searched, thrown in solitary confinement, and sentenced to 8 weeks of house arrest because her school's AI program misunderstood a joke between friends. But the school's gaggle AI system flagged it as a threat, leading to her arrest without parental notification. Data shows that Gaggle's alerts are wrong nearly 70% of the time, yet schools continue using these digital hall monitors that can't distinguish between homework and threats. Meanwhile, corporate America continues its assault on young women as L'Oreal hired a porn star to promote a makeup targeting teenagers. The campaign, viewed nearly 19 million times on TikTok, directly violates L'Oreal's own ethical character, prohibiting partnerships with pornography creators. And in Minneapolis, a Democratic Socialist mayoral candidate has announced his first priority would be protecting undocumented residents from the hostile federal governments, also known as enforcing immigration law. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Higgs. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. Tell me what's the
word, I'm wired up. I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Neurodiversity! What? Neuro. This is Wretched Radio. Here's a shocker for you. Our brains all function differently. You say, duh. But when you have a political agenda, you identify the difference in the way that our brains function. You slap a very cleverly chosen word on it in order to promote a political agenda of identity politics. You say, are you speaking French, Friel? Because I don't understand a word you're saying, courtesy of one. Oh, boy. Daniel S.C. No, S-Z-C-Z. I think we need to buy Daniel a vowel because I don't know how to say S-Z-C-Z-E-S-N-I-A-K. I am so sorry, Daniel. We need to be praying for Daniel for his healing because I have a funny feeling that he got beat up more than I did for his last name. How do you say Shechenziak? Sure, easy for you to say. Writing about a biblical understanding of neurodiversity. Why? Because even evangelicals are adopting the secular therapeutic language of neurodiversity. It is all the rage. It was coined in the 1990s by a sociologist named Judy Singer, and it's going to sound innocuous enough. It describes how each person's nervous system, including the brain, develops and functions differently, affecting how we sense the world. And all of God's people said, duh. Yeah, of course. However, there's more to the story. Neurodiversity represents a new addition to political categories of class, gender, race, and will augment the insights of the social model of disability, she wrote. In other words, neurodiversity is just a name that is being used to drive an agenda from Dennis. After the concept gained widespread use, she stated she purposely chose a political term, diversity, and joined it with a scientific term, neuroscience, to name what she hoped would be, quote, the last great identity politics movement to come out of the 20th century. What do you know? Science has an agenda, which I think we all know. Don't we? From this origin is a political construct designed to create a new point of intersectionality. I think we're all familiar with that term now. You've got intersections. You've got things that aren't considered in the class of the oppressor category. So you're not white, so you've got an intersection. You're not straight, you got an intersection. You're not male, you got an intersection. Well, now there's another intersection which allows you to actually have more power than the powerful, the supposed powerful, because you've got a lot of intersections and we need to listen to you more than we listen to anybody else because you have more diversity in your intersectionality. It's a new world, isn't it? She came up with the word neurodiversity to add a necessary new category to what is now called intersectionality. She wrote, quote, neurodiversity, it's politics, not science. So we've now got this fancy name that somebody can adopt for themselves and say, I'm neurodiverse. And it comes with different forms and different categories. These are labels that we've all heard. And this is not to suggest that people aren't neurodiverse. They are. Duh. But that's not what neurodiversity means. And that's not what it's all about. And so things like ADHD, Asperger's, autism, developmental language disorder, dyscalculia, dyslexia, OCD, Tourette's, etc. Well, then you're neurodiverse. And that gives you another intersection. Therefore, you have more value in what you say than anybody else does. From the article, many people can identify with such difficulties. After Singer's 1998 paper, and with the growth of internet chat forums, the term expanded beyond the autistic community into fields such as disability studies, special education, higher education, business, counseling, and medicine. Let me take you to Cleveland, specifically the Cleveland Clinic. It defines neurodiversity, as Dennis points out rather cautiously. The neurodivergent is a non-medical term that describes people whose brains develop or work differently for some reason. Everybody's brains work differently. Why? We're knit together. We're all custom made by God. We're not assembly line image bearers from Cleveland. This means the person has different strengths and struggles from people whose brains develop or work more typically. While some people who are neurodivergent have medical conditions, it happens to people where a medical condition or diagnosis hasn't been identified. So this term, it means, well, frankly, nothing except for what is baked into the term. So here are some observations courtesy of Dennis at biblicalcounseling.com. One, neurodiversity is not a medical condition. It's not. It's a political label. However, neurodiversity is portrayed as a medical condition using clinical terms. They use this therapeutic language to slap a label on somebody, which then provides them with a new intersection. You got to know that money is connected to this. You've got to know that people are somehow profiting from this. I know government schools are, and interestingly, I don't know if you saw this study or this report, that government schools, different school districts all over the country are now actually hiring publicity firms to try to persuade parents who have pulled their kids out of public schools. Come back. Really, we're amazing. Come back. Totally missing the point. And they're trying to use kind of a benefits sales pitch. Hey, we've got better laboratories. Hey, our gymnasium is bigger. Lessons in missing the point. People didn't pull their kids out of government schools mostly because of facilities. They pulled them out because of what was being downloaded into our kids' brains. All of the sexual nonsense, all of the anti-God rhetoric, not to mention evolution, not to mention the pride stuff that is being just slammed onto the kids. That's why they've been pulling their kids out of school. Not to mention, so many times, depending on the school, of course, depending on the teachers, the education level ain't all that great. And these days in government schools, most bigger schools have a school psychologist. Why? So that we can observe your child, see some behavior, give them a label, and then we can send them off for prescription medicine and receive government funding. There's money attached to this, not just a political agenda. The functional result of Cleveland Clinic's clinical description is victimization. For some reason, people are affected by this thing called neurodiversity. And the hope they have is that perhaps someday there will be a medical explanation. So we've got a medical label. Let's give them medicine. And there's money connected to that. Observation number three, there are no uniform criteria to define or diagnose neurodiversity. This is just reality. Even Harvard Health describes the reality that everyone is different. So in describing everyone, neurodiversity diagnoses no one, because we're all neurodiverse except for what is baked into the language, which is observation number four. Neurodiverse language carries political baggage. This is from Singer, Judy Singer. Neurodiversity, it's politics. It's the name of a social justice movement, not a diagnosis. If your kid has been labeled as being neurodiverse, your response should be, now, does that mean that we ignore the behavior of children? Of course not. But this ain't science, is the point of this. This is a political movement, is what it is. From the article, The trouble is that in order to receive special accommodation, one must be special. Yet, if that very specialness is normalized, there are no grounds for special treatment. That's the problem with the word. So this is sort of like postmodernism. It just, the idea just defeats itself. It falls apart on itself, but it is still a force in our society. And if you are contacted by your school and informed that your child is neurodiverse, my suspicion is whoever tells you that, unless they're one of the psychological or the psychiatry department at your school, they probably have no idea that neurodiversity has nothing to do with science. This is Wretched Radio.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Okay, I'm going to admit it up front. I'm about to use every cheesy sales phrase in the book because, well, this time, they're actually true. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. That's books and booklets and DVDs and CDs, you know, the old-fashioned things you can actually hold without charging your battery. And at these prices, you're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. Spoiler alert, we haven't. We found our mission. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. Free, as in $0. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month to take advantage of all of our physical inventory. After that, these resources are going to become collector's items. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out on this wonderfully ridiculous clearance event, going out of business sale or something. FortisInstitute.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this: you're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
God's grace is my foundation, is Jesus Christ.
Church
Lord.
News.
She is his creation, my spirit and love.
Jimmy, are you ready to multitask?
Absolutely.
Don't talk over the music. This is a really great hymn. talk over it, we don't get to hear the lyrics. So stop it. What kind of a disc jockey are you anyway? You know you shouldn't talk. What's the thing called when the singing starts? That's the
post.
The post.
Yeah.
Don't talk over your post. Would you be kind enough to multitask? I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, I'm not really hopeful, but maybe somewhere on the YouTube machine, there's a cleaner edition of The Church's One Foundation. It's not a hymn that gets sung a lot. Grace Community Church. They're putting so many of their hymns up on the YouTube machine, which I really appreciate a lot, so that you can, I'm not familiar with every single hymn that's in the hymnal. And so to be able to hear the music without having to actually read music, super helpful. And it's beautifully done. We need a cleaner version of Church's One Foundation because it is an excellent hymn. And is there a single worship song that talks about the church? I bet maybe a Matt Papa song, maybe, is about the church. Otherwise, I really doubt Hillsong is singing about the church. They're probably singing about fire and feeling and warmth and gooiness, like Jesus culture, which, by the way, we just put a video up on the YouTube machine on the Jesus culture. What makes it so problematic, because they just did a teaser for their upcoming project called Pentecost. And everybody, Jimmy, you tell me if you agree with this. Now I'm having you triple task. Sorry about that.
That's correct.
The Jesus culture song was, we need a new Pentecost. You got a problem with that?
Yeah.
Why?
We don't need a new Pentecost.
I agree. But could it not be poetic language that simply is trying to state in a poetic way that we want the Holy Spirit to move mightily among the nations? Wouldn't that be at least like a poetic sort of way to use that term?
I don't know. I might have to think about it. I don't like it.
Well, because you know that it's connected to a group of people that just have bad theology. And I agree with you. And that's really the problem with that song, is it is connected to their bad Holy Spirit theology. How ironic is that? A group that purports to focus and be specialists on the Holy Spirit abuse the third person of the Trinity constantly, focusing on the Holy Spirit and fire falling down, and we need another Pentecost. We know that they're thinking about, we need another Pentecost, is we need the actual Pentecost. That's what they think. That's what they're singing about. You say, well, what do you mean the actual Pentecost? That happened in Acts chapter 2. I would say amen to that. But Jesus culture would say, no, that was just a shadow. And then Azusa Street, there was another shadow. But we have not received the full Pentecost yet. And that is why I have a problem with it. I wouldn't be nuts about it. Go watch the video. You're going to be shocked. William Booth of Salvation Army, he sang fire fall down, fire fall down, fire fall down, and we need another Pentecost. Huh. That's what might change the way you feel about going to the Salvation Army. Jimmy, were you able to find another version of the Church's One Foundation?
I did, but I haven't been able to listen to it because
I keep talking to you.
Well, yeah. Well, it'll come through. So, yeah, but I can play it. It's from Grace Hymns. Oh. And I thought I could play it.
The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, the Lord. She is His new creation by Spirit.
Jaunty.
From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride.
That's got
to
be Philip.
With His own blood singing. He bought her, and for her
now let's see what they do. Elect from every nation, yet one or all the earth.
Yet one o'er all the earth, her chart, her love, salvation. faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace and to.
Jimmy, I have a confession to make. Cut. I hate to cut him off because I love old hymns. This is an example of you bring your childhood into your reaction to something. That's not the way we sang Church's One Foundation. That's a little too peppy for my taste. You know what? I have to confess, one of the things that I notice so regularly when these contemporary worship groups try to do a remake on a song, it's like, hello, match the lyrics with the music. I can understand praise to the Lord, the Almighty, having that be, you know, big and energetic. But there's some hymns that I think deserve a slightly more somber sort of presentation, considering what is being discussed. But specifically, the shedding of blood. Oh, what there was. Oh, it was a. It was. They were hot for a minute back in maybe 20 some years ago. They were like a big band worship song thing, and they would put a bam, 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 bam to everything, which included like really like. Jimmy, give me a hymn that like an Easter hymn that isn't like a celebratory hymn or a Good Friday hymn. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, there's one right there. That deserves something a little bit more somber than when I survey that one dress crowd. Bah, bah, bah. You gotta match the lyrics to the music. Let's span the globe with church news, shall we? A rather sort of evangelical kind of ecumenical affair in Venezuela, a March for Jesus rally. You say, what's notable about that? I say it came from a presidential decree. Not kidding. The national day of the March for Jesus. So if you're a Christian nationalist, I'm just saying, Venezuela seems to. Baltimore judge gave a violent thug zero jail time for savagely beating a pro-life Christian. That ain't cool. This was two elderly men were attacked by a 26-year-old outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic. The dude was beaten real bad. And the guy who beat him, I mean, like he really beat him up, went to the emergency room, orbital fracture, so his eye got kicked in, permanently damaged. The guy got a year of home detention. Only a quarter of Catholic priests and mainline pastors definitely believe Adam and Eve existed. Don't let Ken Ham know that, because I don't think that he'd be excited to. Belief in hell, 93% of evangelical pastors express certainty, compared with 70% of Catholic priests and 45% of mainline Protestant leaders. And why is Protestantism shrinking? It got nothing. You're not teaching anything great. You're not teaching anything eternal. And hence all of the shuddering of the institutions, Luther Seminary in St. Paul. I think there's another Lutheran seminary, I want to say in Philadelphia, that also recently closed down. Why? Because they're ashamed of Christianity and they're shrinking, and rightly so. Barna research reveals the crisis no one talks about. Struggling pastors. Nearly one in five pastors has considered self-harm or suicide in the past year. Hey, be taking care of your pastor. Nearly half of churchgoers attend more than one congregation. I can see and imagine some scenarios where that might be appropriate, but I would say it's the exception to this rule that we're reading about. Nearly half of American churchgoers attend more than one church. Commit to a church. Commit to one church, become a member and start serving there and find a ministry. Find, if you hear somebody talking about, wouldn't it be nice to find, I don't know, like an updated version of the Church's One Foundation? You go, that's me. I'll do that. Don't wait for a program. Don't wait to get plugged in. See it, hear it, Be on the alert for it. Go read the one another's. There's like 36 of them. And figure out a way to have an impact as you are a member of one local church. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.